We have so much to be grateful for. These two verses are all about going forward. Do you remember a few years ago, during the Gillard-Rudd fiasco, the catchphrase was always going forward. Remember, just like every other, it was constantly going forward, going forward. And you sometimes wonder what that meant. Why they couldn't just say from this point on or from now on. No, going forward. And obviously what it means is from this point, we're going to change our behavior and our actions and go forward with this new perspective. These two verses, as we work through Colossians, verses 6 and 7 of chapter 2, they summarize the basic teaching of the whole of the book, of the letter of Colossians. See, it not only describes the way that these young Colossians believers should be faithful to the apostolic teaching, the foundations of the Christian faith, but also how to make best progress building on that in the faith and then avoiding being drawn into false spirituality. Because obviously anything outside of the Christian faith is dangerous. It's unhealthy for Christians to be drawn away. And I think it's clear that there is an enormous hunger for God in Colossae. Hunger that has to be guided. It has to be nurtured. It has to be nurtured in the right direction. And not squashed by legalism, which so often happens in some quarters, where people are forced or encouraged to live within certain boundaries and rules and regulations that are not biblical. They are rather man-made. So those two verses in the NIV say, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." These two verses, Paul has given us some wonderful advice, some guidance on something that we desperately need, truths that need to be kept in balance in our Christian faith. First of all, that in receiving Christ means that it's not the end, but rather the beginning of something even greater. So it's not like, I've become a Christian, that's it. I've become a Christian, and we must grow in Christ. He's given us a new life, and a new life which we need to build on. It opens up for us an incredible wealth of knowledge and wisdom. But it must be, and this is the balance, it must be that this growth carries on in the Christian life, and it must stay consistent with what was taught at the beginning. It must always be within Christ. It must be within the apostolic teaching. In other words, it must be consistent with the Word of God, which is the apostolic teaching passed down to us. So, if we want to, and we must take this to heart. We must be serious about this. We must progress in our spiritual walk with the Lord. And because it's only then that we will have a faith which will be beneficial both to his glory and for our good. There is no place for a stagnating Christian. The first point then, verse 6, says, Paul says, as you received, live in him. As you received Christ, live in him. You know, the Christian life is often portrayed as like a pilgrimage, a walk. It's a journey through life. And Paul is calling the Colossians and us to live this life, to walk this walk in the same way as he expresses in chapter 1, verse 10. Worthy of the Lord. We are to live our lives in a way which is worthy of the Lord. We'll see how important this word Lord is shortly. He says it again in the letter another couple of times. It's important. In fact, in the companion letter to Colossians, the book of Ephesians, Paul uses this term seven times, or this image seven times. So it's important. In Paul's thinking, it is important that we walk and live our lives in a way which is worthy of the Lord. We are to, this is saying here, that we are to live our lives in the way in which we first received him. And how did we first receive Christ? By faith? We received Jesus by faith? And that's exactly how we should live our lives. By faith. Guided by the Holy Scriptures, the apostolic teaching. There should be no other influence in our life except the Word of God. We need to make sure that people's teaching from the Word of God is consistent with the whole of the Word of God. See, these false teachers, these which we believe might have been the start of the Gnostics, they wanted to introduce some new truths for Christian maturity, so that you have a full life. But what did Paul do? He denounced them. He denounced them because they were separate or disjointed from the truth as revealed to the apostles. What he's saying here is that you started with Christ, you must continue on with Christ. You started with faith, and you must continue to live by faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only way that we can progress in our spiritual walk in Christ. So what Paul is saying here is that when we first received Christ, we are then meant to lead on in our life, have a walk that is in the path of righteousness. We are to seek a path that is right and correct, so it is worthy of the Lord. What did Jesus say in the Beatitudes in chapter 5, verse 5 of Matthew's Gospel? Blessed are those who what? Hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. That should be the longing, priority, desire, yearning of our heart, to live a righteous life just like our Lord Jesus. That's the balance then. That's the balance. The living should be completely consistent with what we first received, the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel. That truth, as I said already, is the apostolic truth. It means that we take this apostolic truth, the truth of the Word of God, the Bible, and no other. Because as Paul said, what he wrote down was what he received directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. He stated it twice in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and chapter 15. He passed on to us what he received directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we to doubt any of Paul's writings? Absolutely not. But there are people who profess to be pastors, Christians, scholars, who doubt big chunks of the Apostle Paul's writings as being culturally biased. What Paul passed on was the truth of the Word of God. And it was this oral tradition that was carefully retained, it was carefully guarded. That's what became the New Testament. This is what completed the whole of the Christian Bible. So that's receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's receiving the faith. But that's not to deny the fact that we need to receive him into our hearts. Mentally, intellectually, we need to accept that as the truth. But it needs to go to our heart. We need to move the truth from our heart into our from our head to our heart so that it affects the whole of our lives, our behavior, our outlook, our attitude, everything. We have to fully accept so that it conforms our life also. We have to learn this truth. So that means we have to be taught it from the Word of God so that we might receive it. This really goes against this modern idea that to have some casual half a gospel message is enough to receive Jesus into your life. You know, this an altered gospel that comes out today. It's not the full gospel. It's not half a gospel or part of a gospel. It's the full gospel message. You know, we can't just say to people, oh, believe in Jesus because he loves you. The full message of the gospel has to be known by the person to receive it in order to be saved. They must hear. We see, we have a terrible habit of promoting Jesus as Savior. But what does it say in the verse? When you received him as what? Lord. Lord. You see, we want Jesus as our Savior. Oh, we want him to save us from our sins. But do we want him to be the Lord of our lives? So many people don't want him to be the Lord. They want the insurance policy. They want straight to heaven. But I don't want to conform my life. I don't want to be a slave or a servant to God. We share the gospel in such a way that we want to bring out all the attractive bits. You know, all the good bits, but leave out the hard bits. That God would demand our lives and conform our lives to him? That's not so attractive. So we leave out those hard bits and just give out the nice, cozy bits. We hide the truth. And when we do that, brothers and sisters, when preachers get up and preach a gospel of cheap grace, there's only one thing we can do. And hang our heads in absolute shame. Because we are turning the gospel upside down. We are depriving people of the truth. And they're only hearing a half a message. It's so important that we understand that Jesus is Lord first. The whole gospel of Mark, the first chapter, is all about establishing, because it was a book written to Romans, to Gentiles, and it was all about authority. Romans loved authority. And the first gospel, first chapter of the Gospel of Mark is all about establishing, showing the authority, the power that Jesus had over people's wills, over the power of nature, over demons, disease, death. The fact that everything submits to him and must submit to him. To receive Jesus Christ, the truth of Jesus Christ, is to acknowledge the wonderful truth, the good news, that Jesus Christ has the power and the authority over everything. He is sovereign. And that's why he is able to save the world and from misery and error and sin, and save us from our error and sin, because he has the authority and the power over everything. He is Lord, and we have to submit ourselves first to him as our Lord so that we might be saved. As I say, let's be honest, so many of us, we want to be saved from our sins, but not necessarily, we want to be saved from the penalty of our sins, but not necessarily from the sins, because so often we still enjoy those sins. but Lord. Jesus must be Lord of our lives. So the call that Paul is making here, the challenge, is that we must take Christ as Lord, and he is the Lord of every part of our lives, so that he can make us and shape us into his obedient servants. And our lives should reflect that reality. That all the discipline, all the correction that comes into our lives, you know, those horrible times that we think come into our lives, are actually a witness to the fact that Jesus is the Lord of our life, and he is shaping us, he is molding us, he is honing us and making him more like himself. It's showing his lordship over our lives. After all, as Jesus said, if we've come to Jesus, he is our Lord, and everything we do, we should take the attitude, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. Secondly, verse 7, as you are rooted, be built up in him. This is a call from Paul to grow in Christ. Paul calls for us as Christians that once we're rooted in Christ, which is in the English language, in the Greek language, is a perfect participle, to be built up in him, which is a present participle. So, first of all, a perfect participle, and then a present participle. Once rooted means forever established, and then to be built up is an ongoing, growing process. So then conversion, when we come to Christ, is just the beginning. It's an agricultural word, the word rooted. As I say, it's once for all being rooted in Christ, founded in Christ. We're not to be like those, you remember the Westerns, where always there was a bit of tumbleweed that would blow across the set, blown across in the wind. We're not to be like that. We are to be rooted and established in Christ, not blown around by false teaching. Paul wrote in Ephesians 4, verse 14, it's when we are established in Christ, established on Christ, that we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Nor are we to be transplants. You know, if you're into gardening, you know about pricking out seedlings and putting them into other compost. Or when a flower becomes pot-bound, you take it out and put it in new soil so it can grow a bit more. We are not to be transplants. We're not to move from soil to soil. So many Christians spend their time shopping around looking for somewhere that they feel that they're established, that they can grow in. You know, if we are rooted in Christ, if we are established in Christ, that's what's important. We have no need to go seeking other soil. Because when our roots are down, we can draw down and grow in Christ, gaining all our energy from him. Roots, this can also mean the foundation, because it's a building term as well. It's the roots in the tree that give strength and stability. And so it is with us. To be built up is a building term, an architectural term. Being built up. When we trust in Christ to save us, then immediately we're on that foundation, that solid foundation. And that's where we will grow in peace and grace. So the balancing truth here is that as we are founded in Christ, so we must be built up in Christ and no other place. We should not go off seeking anything other than Christ, because he is all that we need and all that we should need. It's only in Christ, as the word tells us, that all the treasures of heaven are found. Why seek anything else? You see, sadly, there are others, as they were in Colossae, who were claiming that they had an exclusive knowledge and power, and that they claimed that they could pass this on to other people. as long as they submitted to their authority or their teaching. But they were false teachers, because it's found only in Christ and Christ alone. Third, verse 7, as you were taught, be strengthened in the faith. This means that Paul is saying that we must be seeking a deeper Christian understanding. We do not stagnate. We must grow in our stature as a Christian. We must grow in our faith and our trust of the Lord Jesus Christ. We mustn't be becoming more fearful. We should be becoming more courageous in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be established and consolidated in the truth so that we are built up and strengthened in our faith. You see, Paul puts an awful lot of emphasis on teaching. We have to learn. We have to be taught to learn to be built up. And we learn from the Word of God. Yes, we learn from sermons. But we must spend our own time in the Word of God as well, so that we can gauge what we're hearing is true. We must believe in the apostolic truth. As I say, Paul puts a great deal of emphasis on teaching so that people are built up. We will only build up in our spiritual life if we spend time in the Word of God and in prayer. But again, there's this balancing caution. We must stay consistent with the old, with what was taught, which was passed down from Paul and Peter and all the apostles, what was passed on through the Holy Spirit to the writers of the Bible. We must stay consistent with the Word of God. Why do I put so much emphasis on that? Because there are so many Christian leaders today, so-called scholars, so-called preachers, that do not believe the whole of the Word of God. They claim, many claim to be evangelical, and yet they do not hold to any of the evangelical emphasis anymore. There are many who would pick the Word of God apart and make it compromise to today's life, rather than let the Word of God inform us how we should live in this secular world. They want it to be accepted by the world. When we stay true to the apostolic truth, the teaching, then we will suffer for the Word of God. We will suffer for our Lord. But we don't do it alone. We do it in the power of God. We need to be like Paul, who said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Yes, it's foolishness to the world, but for us, it's everything. And it would be for them if we share it with them and God touches their hearts. We must never be ashamed of what the Bible teaches. There are things in the Bible that teaches that people, Christians, go against, who deny. And this is wrong. So these three calls that Paul makes. We must be living in Christ, built up in Christ, strengthened in Christ. We must never go looking for these things anywhere else. Only in Christ. Only to be consistent with what we read in the scriptures. And then Paul ends this piece of scripture, these two verses, with a very telling expression. Overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing with thankfulness. He's already mentioned it in chapter 1, verse 3 and 12. That's the mark of a true, growing, solid, consolidated Christian, when they are overflowing with thankfulness and gratitude. It's bursting out of them. Then we know we're making progress in the Christian life. We should be overflowing with thankfulness. You remember that the false teachers were promoting something like an abundant life or an overflowing life. Well, Paul believes in that, but it's overflowing with thankfulness and gratitude. That's what should be evident in us as we walk with our Lord. Bursting with thankfulness. This is a true witness of the Spirit. The Spirit in us. To be overflowing with thankfulness and gratitude is a witness of the Spirit within us. Because it then means that we have our eyes in the right place. We have our eyes on Jesus sitting there at the right hand of God, Lord over everything. And not looking at our circumstances and our situation around us. Being intimidated by the world. Being frightened to speak up for the truth. When Jesus is seen by us as the Lord, then we realize that everything we have is His. And He's given it to us as a gift. That even what's within us is from Him. All the goodness that's within us is from Him. We have nothing to give back except our gratitude and our thanksgiving, our love. And sadly, that's not to deny the fact that we can become like the Pharisee again and start believing it's about us. And then God brings us back to that place where we surrender to Him again and acknowledge, yes, Lord, You are Lord, not me. That word overflowing, Paul uses it often in his writings. It gives us a picture of this river bursting its banks. You know, when we first came to the Lord, that's what He talked about with the lady at the well, that He would put within us a deep well of water, an artesian well. But it wasn't just to sit there. Because later on in John's Gospel, He said that it's to be like a river flowing out of us. This, I believe, is what Paul is pulling on Ezekiel 47, that flowing out from Jerusalem, I hope you've got the significance of that, was this living water that as it flowed out, it didn't just stay a little trickle, it got deeper and deeper and deeper. And as it went, it made an influence in the sea and trees grew up. It brought life. That is what's to flow out of us. Sadly though, so many of us are like a little trickle. And we're supposed to be getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And be like a river that no one can cross. Gratitude and thanksgiving. It's said in Africa that there is a fruit called the taste berry. It's called this because it changes the person's taste so that everything eaten afterward tastes sweet and pleasant. Any sour fruit, even if it's eaten hours after the taste berry, actually becomes sweet and pleasant to eat. Gratitude is the taste berry in our lives. That no matter what happens in our lives, if we have a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving, we can bear all things. Sorrow, burdening, you know, all these things, trials and tribulations, disappointment, loneliness. If we have a heart of gratitude to God, that will see us through. And not just see us through, but give us victory over these things as well. Take your eyes off yourself and place them in gratitude and thanksgiving to God. Go and help someone else and give thanks to God. That is the taste berry of our lives. So as I wind up, I think Paul has shown us here how we can make spiritual progress in our walk with Him, with the Lord Jesus Christ. He has shown how those who are growing in Christ are able to defend themselves against the enemy, against false teachers, against Satan, and not be led astray. Because if our spiritual roots are deep in Christ, then we don't want any other soil. Once you've been in Christ, nothing else tastes right. If Christ is our sure foundation, then there's no need to move, is there? We are founded on the truth. We are founded on the greatest treasure that ever came from heaven to earth. If we're studying and growing in the Word of God, then we won't be easily led astray and enticed by false teachers, people who set up doctrines on one verse that has no other basis in the Word of God. If our heart is overflowing with thankfulness and thanksgiving, then we won't go seeking anywhere else to be fulfilled other than in Christ. A grounded, growing, grateful believer will never be led astray. Amen. Let us pray. Again, Lord, we just want to thank you.